So our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, verses 5 through 42. It begins, "He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land of Jacob, the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me some water to drink.' His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, 'Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink for me, a Samaritan woman?' Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, 'If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, "Give me some water to drink," you would be asking him, and he would give you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, and as did his sons and his livestock.' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water.' Jesus said to her, 'Go get your husband and come back here.' The woman replied, 'I don't have a husband.' 'You are right to say, I don't have a husband,' Jesus answered. 'You've had 5 husbands, and the man you are with now isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth.' The woman said, 'Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it is necessary to worship in Jerusalem.' Jesus said to her, 'Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming and is here when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. The Father looks for those who worship him this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and truth.' The woman said, 'I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach everything to us.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the one who speaks with you.' Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' The woman put down her water jar and went into the city. She said to the people, 'Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ?' They left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples spoke to Jesus, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' Jesus said to them, 'I have food to eat that you don't know about.' The disciples asked each other, 'Has someone brought him food?' Jesus said to them, 'I'm fed by doing the will of the one who sent me and by completing his work. Don't you have a saying, 4 more months and then it's time for the harvest? Look, I tell you, open your eyes and notice that the fields are already ripe for the harvest. Those who harvest are receiving their pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that those who sow and those who harvest can celebrate together. This is a true saying. The one sows and another harvests. I have sent you to harvest what you didn't work for, hard for. Others worked hard, and you will share in their hard work.' Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified, 'He told me everything I've ever done.' So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, as we enter our time into our wilderness, we ask that you bring to us the living water, the water given us through the word from John today. And may it fulfill our thirst and take away everything that you've given us through the Spirit and in the truth. And may we place our jars behind and move forward, blessing your name now and forevermore. Amen. How are we all doing this week with the Lenten question? What is your wilderness? Week three of trying to decipher that answer. Week three of seeing the world in the lens of war once again. Week three of wrestling about this journey we are on, one that is filled with irony, one that is filled with grief, one that is filled with burden. Burdens that pull us away from our living, burdens that pull us away from our faithful life, burdens that pull and pull and pull until we can't take it anymore. Life is hard enough the way it is in our wilderness. We go to the well thirsting for something better. We call for a better hope in and through the Messiah. But sometimes the burdens of life, they get in the way. But here is the truth. Some of those burdens, they don't feel like burdens until the moment we finally set them down. There was this elderly late woman who lived alone. On her kitchen table, she had this wooden box. When asked what was inside the box, she began to open it slowly. Inside that box was a stack of old letters. Some of them were from people who had passed away, others from some who deeply wounded her. After she picked them up, she made this statement, "I don't know why I even keep them. I guess maybe I'm afraid to throw them away. Because if I do, I will probably lose a part of myself." This story makes me think about our wilderness. It makes me think about each one of us. It makes me ask this question, how many of us are holding on to things, those things that hurt us, all because we are too afraid of who we will be without them? Friends, this is a part of our Lenten journey. This is a part of our wilderness. But Lent is also the season where Jesus whispers, "You don't have to carry that anymore. Let those burdens go. Come out of your wilderness and see what I can provide for you." And this is what we hear today in John chapter 4, a story of a Samaritan woman, one who is holding on to too much, and Jesus convinces her that it's finally time to let it all go. Yes, the gospel story is from John chapter 4. But if you notice, we skipped a few verses like 1 through 4. Verse 4 tells us this. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. But did he really have to go? He didn't have navigation. He wasn't on the quickest route to his destination. No, what Jesus had was this. An ache in his heart. An ache for someone who had been pushed away time and time again, living on the edge of society, living in the world with the outcast. But he knew he had to go, because there was a woman who through her whole life had been told she had no worth. He had to go because God's love, it isn't passive. Rather, what God's love is this. It's relentless. It's intentional. It's the kind of love that has no boundaries. It's the kind of love that walks straight into the places where people have been forgotten. Just like where this woman was today, at a well. at high noon. And noon is the hour of loneliness. Noon is where the shadows are the shortest, yet where the shame feels the longest. And she knows this. She knows she will be there alone. Friends, this isn't about the burden of sin that she carries. No. It is about hiding from the cruelty of others. She has grown tired of it all, the whispers, the looks, the stories that others were saying about her behind her back. She knows it all. It's like the ones who slip into the back pew right after the service starts and then leaves before the benediction and goes to the bathroom right before we pass the peace. Their hope is that no one will ever see them. But this woman, her life, her schedule, her wilderness evolves around one thing: avoiding others. But today, Jesus changes it all because he is structuring his journey just to meet her. So he sits and he waits. He is tired. He is thirsty. His journey has been long. And here's what happens in verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." What a telling statement. Here is Jesus, the Savior of the world. He sits down, he's exhausted. He's waiting patiently for this woman who thinks she is unworthy of being seen when she arrives. And what does Jesus do? In this moment, he breaks every barrier, the ethnic, the gender, the moral, the religious, and he just doesn't break them. No, rather he walks straight through them like they were never there. But here's the thing. In this moment, it's not just about breaking the barriers for her. Rather, he is breaking the barriers with her. In this moment, Jesus speaks to her with dignity. He listens to her questions. He treats her as someone whose story matters. This is what he tells her. If you recognize God's gift, he would have given you living water. I know she thinks he is talking about wells. But Jesus, he is talking about wounds. He is talking about the thirst for belonging. He is talking about the thirst for dignity. He is talking about the thirst for love, a love that doesn't leave. And he doesn't stop here with the compassion. He goes a bit further, touching on the place she's been hiding. Not one of guilt, but rather a place of grief. Jesus then goes on and begins asking her about her husband. Here's what he says: "Go get your husband and come back here." The woman replies, "I don't have a husband." Jesus replies, "You are right to say you've had five husbands, and the man you are with now isn't your husband." Friends, what Jesus is saying here isn't about condemnation. Rather, it is about compassion. In her culture, women could not divorce men. Only men could divorce their wives. She wasn't a five-time runaway. No, what she was a five-time survivor. In her life, five times she has been left, abandoned, traded, discarded. Five times she was told she was not good enough. That is why Jesus isn't there to expose her sin. He is there willing to expose her pain. He is saying, "I see what they did to you. I see the wounds you have been carrying. I see the shame you carry that isn't yours. I am not leaving you. I am here for you." This situation is like this. When someone finally tells you the truth about yourself, not the truth you fear, but the truth you have been longing to hear. You are not the sum of what happened to you. You are not the labels people put on you. You are not your past. This is a part of our Lenten wilderness journey, one where Jesus touches the places you have been hiding, those places in the wilderness that hold you back, the place where the shade of the trees block out the sun, the place where Jesus shows up and says this, "Let me heal that. Let me heal you." This past Wednesday, I woke to a message from a friend on Facebook. This is what it said. What you want to find is right after the choir singing. I was like, I'll bite. Okay. I like watching other church services, see what they're doing. This video she sent me was her church service, which was an hour and 30 minutes. So I started playing the video. And I jumped ahead and jumped some more. I finally found the choir. And then the next part came on, and she introduced a part of the service asking the congregation about their faith journey. And her husband came up, and he said these words, "I've been gone for 6 weeks. I have been in a mental health clinic for those 6 weeks. Because 6 weeks ago, I tried to take my own life. But my stepson found me before I made it to the river to jump in. I slipped on the ice, causing me not to make it." It took me back. Like, why didn't they reach out? I've known these people a long time. She's a very good pastor friend of mine. Why didn't they tell me? Then it made me think, when the conversation gets too close, she does what we all do. We change the subject. My friend said this, "If God wouldn't have been there causing my husband to slip, the story would have ended differently." In that moment, God intervened. On my friend's wilderness journey, it was the moment that changed everything. Here's what verse 28 says. The woman put down her water jar and went into the city. The jar is more than a jar. It is her lifeline, her routine, her coping mechanism, her symbol of shame, her daily reminder of isolation. Today she came to the well for water, but after her conversation with Jesus, she leaves behind the jar. And she does that because she found something better. In that moment, her priorities changed. Her identity changed. Her thirst is no longer there. I once heard a story about a little boy at a family gathering carrying around a large stone he had found in the yard. At first, it didn't seem to bother him. He held it like it was a treasure. But as the afternoon went on, his arms started to droop. He switched hands. Then he hugged it to his chest real tight. Finally, he sat down on the porch steps and started to cry. When his mother asked him what was wrong, he said, "It's too heavy. But I didn't want to put it down because it felt important." She knelt beside him and said, "Sweetheart, just because you've been carrying it doesn't mean you have to keep on carrying it." He set the stone down and immediately ran off laughing, free again. Friends, this is what shame does. This is what trauma does. This is what fear does. I know we want to carry those things that once felt important, those things that we thought defined us. After so long, they become heavy, too heavy to hold. And Jesus shows up telling us, you don't have to carry that anymore. How many of you are sick and tired of carrying those heavy loads through? through your wilderness, because I know I am. I'm tired of having to continue to hold on to what is holding me back. But this is where our faith comes in. Just like the woman's jar, it represents those things we continue to carry. They are burdens. And Jesus is inviting each one of us to leave them all behind. Maybe it's a wound you've never spoke out loud. Maybe it's a fear that keeps you awake at night. Maybe it's a story you've been telling yourself about who you are. Maybe you believe that you are unlovable. Maybe you think God can't possibly use someone like you. But this is Lent. Do you realize Lent has never been about giving up chocolate? Or giving up anything except your burdens. It's about giving up the things that keep us from healing. We cannot run into the future Jesus has for us while continuing to carry the jar from our past. And that is exactly what she does when she leaves that jar behind today. She becomes free to run. She runs back into town and the town she's always avoided. And what does she exclaim? Come and see the man who has told me everything I've done. How many people out there avoid church because they believe the church will judge them? I know a few like this. If they only knew. Am I right? Maybe that is our wilderness. Being able to understand what grace does. Because it takes people to feel unworthy to turn them into disciples. It takes people to feel invisible to make them vessels of living water. It is so simple when you think about it. Come and see, right? And the town does, and they believe. And as the story ends today, here's what John's gospel tells us. We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. All because of an interaction between Jesus and a woman who finally set down what she was carrying way too long in her wilderness. So let me ask you again. What is your wilderness? What do you need to set down? What jar are you going to leave behind? What are you inviting Jesus to help you with? What wound? What fear? What story? What shame? Because Jesus is always there in our wilderness. Jesus is still meeting people at the wells. He is offering all the living water. He is telling all the truth that heals. He is breaking down all the barriers. And he is calling us all into a new life. As we leave those jars behind in our wilderness, today I ask you, let's bring our jars to Jesus. And let's leave them at the well in our wilderness. And let's run into the life God has for you and me. Let's put our jars down. Amen.